What's up, everyone? It's Michael Scotto, HoopsHype.com's NBA writer and host of the HoopsHype podcast. The Detroit Pistons have dominated the news cycle lately, with numerous playoff caliber teams expressing interest in trading for Pistons forward Bojan Bogdanovic. Cade Cunningham recently was ruled out for the season with surgery, and Sadiq Bey and Nerlens Noel have also drawn interest on the trade market. So, on today's episode, my former colleague and my good friend James Edwards, who covers the Pistons for The Athletic, joins me to break down these topics and a lot more. James, I appreciate you taking some time out. You've been doing some good work lately reporting on a lot of these topics on The Athletic regarding the Detroit Pistons. So, pleasure to have you on with me in studio, my man. How's everything going?
All is good, man. I appreciate you having me. Good to catch up with you. It's been a little bit, but yeah, man, it's for all the losing the Pistons have done, they've done a good job of staying in the headlines over the last few years. They're definitely very active and I don't know what word I'm looking for. Not rumor hungry team, because they don't seek that, but they're certainly find a way to be a topic of conversation fairly regularly.
Well, you know how it goes when you're towards the bottom of the standings in any conference. Usually teams start poking around to see if you're going to be a seller closer to the deadline. We've got the G League Showcase coming up soon. I'll be out there in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay to keep some tabs on some of those rumblings out there. There's certainly going to be a lot more of a buildup of that coming in. But, you know, James, I think right away the first guy we got to touch on is Bojan Bogdanovic, who I think by the deadline could be arguably one of the biggest names that teams are trying to pry from a potential seller in Detroit. Time will tell if they're going to ultimately sell on him. But, you know, James, I think Fat Joe said it best when it comes to Bojan Bogdanovic's trade market value with the Pistons. I mean, look,
Fat Joe.
You gotta love Fat Joe. Now that Detroit has extended Bogdanovic and they signed him through the 2024-25 season, which includes a team option, and it's only, you know, partially guaranteed for a couple million dollars, and I think more importantly, the fact that Bogdanovic was at one point this season the only player averaging 20 points on 50% shooting from the field, 40% from three-point range, and 85% from the foul line, or maybe it was 50, 45, and 85, something along those lines of shooting splits. As I reported Tuesday on Hoops Hype, the Lakers, Heat, Mavericks, Hawks, and other playoff caliber teams have expressed interest in trading for Bogdanovic. I'm curious, from your standpoint, being around the team every day, James, have you heard other teams specifically who've expressed interest in trading for Bogdanovic, and potentially what the price could be to pry him from Detroit? Because yourself, me, I think Shams has also said that Detroit doesn't want to move him now, but what would it take to tickle their fancy, and any other teams specifically you've heard that have expressed interest in trading for Bojan Bogdanovic at this point?
Yeah, the teams you listed are pretty much the teams I've heard. I can't think of another one that's amiss, though I know it's been close to about a dozen teams that have called and inquired. And listen, it's an interesting situation because, like you said, the Pistons are near the bottom of the standings. Bogdanovic has shot the ball lights out. He's playing arguably some of the best basketball of his life. So logic would say that the Pistons would sell high on that. But I'm not so sure, man. Like, the Pistons don't want to be bad forever. I've reported for the last few years that next season was kind of the year that they wanted to really break out of this rebuild and start pushing for a play-in, for the playoffs, and really start planting that flag as a team that's on the way. And to do that, you need good players, and Bogdanovic is a good player. And if you have those aspirations, you can't just keep trading these veterans who are good. And I know people have questions about Bogdanovic's age, but I mean, and until proven otherwise, like I don't know that this isn't sustainable in terms of at least continuing to be a very good shooter. Maybe some of the other stuff goes, but the Pistons need floor spacing. So I just think that they're in a situation where it is tricky. Everybody, like you said, has a price. My guess is the Pistons like don't want to necessarily trade him. But if there's an offer like a unprotected first and maybe a young player or multiple first, like I think that would maybe entice them to do so, or maybe even a unprotected first and a good veteran who's under maybe contract for a little bit longer. I think maybe that could be of interest, but I also just think that Detroit looks at the odds of them getting somebody that can score the ball like Bogdanović for the price that they have him. And like I said, they didn't sign him to an extension to trade him. They wanted to get him in here and have him be part of this. So every player in this league can be got for a certain thing, a certain price, but I don't get the feeling that Detroit wants to necessarily trade Bogdanović.
Yeah, James, I mean, I would tell you in life, I think you want to find somebody that loves you as much as Pistons coach Dwayne Casey loves Bojan Bogdanović. these are life goals. But to your point, this was a guy that Detroit got relatively on the cheap for Kelly Olynyk and Sabin Lee when he wasn't signed beyond the season. Then Detroit does the work, gets the extension done. And I think that contract, looking ahead, if you talk to people around the league, is going to look even better, you know, as the cap looks to rise. And yeah. I think, like you touched on, his shooting is sustainable. Now, the age doesn't necessarily fit the timeline of this young Piston squad, but his veteran leadership and his scoring does. And he's a floor spacer. All teams need that. I think your price was interesting as far as what it could take to potentially pry Bogdanović. Again, this is a team that is operating from a position of strength where they don't want to move him. So you're going to have to almost overwhelm them with an offer to get Bogdanović. It likely is going to take more than just an unprotected first round pick, as you mentioned. And again, that's a testament to his play and his contract situation looking ahead. You know, I don't even know for sure if a first round pick and 2 seconds gets it done. Like you said, you know, yeah, whether it's a younger player or a vet, I think time will tell on that. What I would say is, in a way, transitioning to my next topic, Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham's injury and surgery that's going to sideline him for the rest of the season, I'm curious if that changes the dynamic and the thought process on whether to keep Bogdanović, because, you know, like, see, James, my understanding was coming into this season, Detroit wanted to compete and potentially be in the play-in tournament if possible. It wasn't a mandate or anything, but certainly if possible. And after the acquisition of Bojan Bogdanović, it kind of signaled that to some people around the league. But now that Cade is expected to miss the rest of the season, I think there's a question now whether Detroit is going to be a seller at the deadline if they remain at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. You know, I know, as you've touched on, they want Bojan to be part of this group looking ahead when they're trying to compete and be a better team. You can make the case that right now Bojan Bogdanović has certainly, in terms of on-court production, has been the best Piston this season so far. So with Cade's injury, do you think that potentially shifts the thinking in terms of whether Bojan Bogdanović is going to be available as we get closer to the trade deadline coming up in a couple of months?
It's really tricky, man, because you can see both sides of the coin. Like, touch on something you said. Like, yeah, I think the Pistons, if they would have made the play-in this year, they would have been totally fine with it. I don't think that many people thought in-house that it was for sure like something that was going to happen by any means. But I definitely agree with you. Like, if they made it this year, there wasn't going to be, if they started off better, I don't think there would have been a push to slow this thing down and try to tank or anything like that. I definitely think that the goal this year, I think they thought they would be better to start the year than they have. And injuries played a big part in that. I mean, Marvin Bagley and Alec Burks missed a month. Cade's been out since early November, I think. Isaiah Stewart missed a week. Jaden Ivey's missed a week. Like, they've had some injuries, untimely injuries too. But certainly when you look at both sides of the coin, I see kind of what you're saying. Like, do you just punt on this season, get what you can for Bojan, and try to restructure and retool next summer when they have some of the most cap space in the NBA? Certainly makes sense. I guess just my question to that is, what are the odds you are able to get a player as good as Bojan at that price in the open market next summer? If the goal next year is to indeed push for the play-in and really turn a corner, I mean, if Bojan had went into next summer as an unrestricted free agent, which he was going to do before the Pistons signed him to the extension, he would have been one of the more coveted players on the market. So they got that guy locked up at a good price. And I just still look at his contract and kind of their goals in the short term and see and think it makes more sense to move him next season if things don't go well, and maybe lose a little bit in terms of just what you could get back from him, just to see if you get everybody healthy, you get another year of development from the young guys, you make some moves in free agency with the cap space, you have another probably top five pick. I just think that you could do something this year and probably sell high. But at the end of the day, I kind of think that, man, it's going to be hard to find somebody as good as Bojan next summer.
I mean, I certainly think when you look at this trade on a face-to-face value, Detroit won, you know, all due respect to Kelly Olynyk and Saben Lee, but the production that Bojan's given them now, you extend him. You essentially now have him for control for the rest of the season, two more after that, when he should still be playing good basketball, barring any injury. You know, my sense was with Detroit this year, kind of like we've touched on in a way, but I'll further crystallize it. They were not looking to be in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. And now, you know, the other thing is, like, the other guys at the top of the board below Victor Wembanyama is Scoot Henderson. Well, Detroit's got their guards. They've got, you know, Jaden Ivey. They've got Cade Cunningham when he's healthy. So you're not looking to go that route realistically. And obviously, if anybody can get Victor Wembanyama, that's the prize. That's the golden ticket. But what I'm curious also with Cade Cunningham's injury, James, is in terms of Detroit right now, I've seen Troy's comments about him being ready for next season and everything. And part of the reason in getting it done now was to do that. But where is Detroit in terms of Cade Cunningham, in terms of their view on Cade Cunningham's development and the type of player he's going to be? When you take a guy number one, he's got to be your franchise pillar and arguably the best player, certainly the best player on your team. What are they thinking internally in Detroit on Cade Cunningham at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think they continue to be very high and have great promise for him. And obviously, they kind of work with the blueprint that you need two top 20, two top 15 guys in this league to really challenge for a title. And I think they see, of anybody on the roster, I think right now Cade is the one that has the potential to become that player. And I think they see that. And I don't think that they went into his rookie year with the expectation that he was going to blow the world away. Like, I think if you talk to some people, they probably would have said Jalen Green might win rookie of the year. Evan Mobley might end up being a Tim Duncan-like, but like with time, Cade's going to make multiple All-Stars. And the way he plays on the floor, his leadership, his selflessness, it just kind of was the perfect fit for Detroit at that time, especially as a team that was really looking for a face of the rebuild, that needed a voice, somebody that could stand in front of the microphone, be the leader, talk eloquently, and be a good representation of the franchise. And I think that is a big reason why going into last year's draft, they ended up with Cade when you factor in kind of everything in the situation and where Detroit is. And I think on the court, as I mentioned before, like they see him as a guy who can be one of the best 20 players in the NBA. He was playing really good basketball before he went down. There was a stretch there for about 2 weeks where he really was starting to turn it on and finding really good promise in the mid-range and getting there and getting comfortable and not as much getting to the rim and challenging trees at the bucket and getting a shot block like he was early in the season. So he was starting to figure it out, and he was really starting to play some good basketball. And so obviously, unfortunately for them, it's rough that the flare-up happened and he couldn't continue, but they certainly see a pathway to him being one of the best 20 players in this league. I think this year what really hurts them is not necessarily the individual development for these players. Killian Hayes can still continue to develop without Cade, and he's actually played the best basketball of his career over the last month and a half. Isaiah Stewart has continued to develop. Sadiq Bey has improved as a guy putting the ball on the floor. Jaden Ivey's going through a little rookie wall right now, but you'd assume he turned it around. Jalen Duren is now in the starting lineup. Like, these individuals can continue to develop, and that's not going to hinder the Detroit going into next year. But what does hurt them is the overall team chemistry, seeing how it fits. Cade hasn't played since the Pistons were able to finally go to the two big lineup because of health. He hasn't played since Killian has really turned this corner as a catch and shoot guy. So it's going to push that team dynamic, that team chemistry back a little bit. And that was what this year was kind of supposed to be about, was finding that form as a group, seeing who fits with Cade, seeing who fits who, seeing who fits where, and really going into next year with a lot of cap space, ability to move stuff, flexibility, and really kind of try to piece this thing together. That takes a little bit of a step back, obviously, when the biggest, I guess, chess piece is off the board.
You touched on a couple of different guys that have gotten a chance, in Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes, Isaiah Stewart, Jalen Duren. I'll start with Sadiq Bey. My sense with Detroit was that they wanted to see what the Pistons had with Sadiq Bey and this young group for more time. Obviously, Cade Cunningham's injury hurts that. You had touched on a little bit on The Athletic about him potentially being gettable, according to other executives, for the right price. I'm curious, is there any update on how gettable he is, and what is the right price that other people or the Pistons would throw out there that could make him expendable?
Yeah, that's a good question, and one I didn't, in doing and talking to people, didn't get much clarity on what the right price is. I think kind of teams poked around once he went to the bench and started to kind of scour the interest and scour where the Pistons are with him going forward. So I think that's where like a lot of that stuff comes from, and people inquiring. And I don't think Detroit is, listen, I think Sadiq is one of those players that he struggled a bit this season in terms of his three-point shooting, which is what he came into the league known for. He struggled a bit defensively. Casey moved him to the bench to try to find balance with scoring with the second unit and balance defensively with the first unit. So there's definitely, he's probably having his biggest up and down year as a pro so far, even though he has improved putting the ball on the floor. He's getting to the free throw line, the best rate of his career. So there are things that he is improving at. It's just the shooting has been pretty, pretty bad so far through this part of the season. So I think they see a world in which Sadiq figures it out and puts it all together. And there's maybe some hesitation there with trading him, because I could see him as being one of those guys that you move and he goes to whatever team and it just bites you, because he is a guy who works so hard. He is a guy who does have some stuff to his game. He is a guy that I work with the belief that shooters don't forget how to shoot. So if he ends up sooner rather than later, or later rather than sooner, getting the three ball back, and you couple that with the work he's done as a dribble drive guy, that's a pretty good player. But I also think that Detroit looks at him and they it plays kind of into the Bojan thing. Like Bojan's presence has kind of made Sadiq, I don't want to, it's definitely not expendable, but certainly like they're able to move him to the bench and maybe not feel as worried about doing such because they have Bojan who is shooting well. They're both not the best defenders, but Bojan's consistency scoring gives him the upper hand. So I don't want to say there's redundancy there, but certainly I don't think that the Pistons, it's tricky because I do think that they like him. I do think that they see promise there, but I also think that like if somebody's going to offer them, if somebody likes Sadiq a whole lot, that they would be inclined not to move him if the situation called for it, I guess. I don't think that they would trade him for change or pennies on the dollar or anything like that. I think that there might be some teams out there who really like him and maybe would give up something that Detroit, just looking ahead and eventually having to consolidate some of these young pieces, a situation where Detroit just decides to make him the casualty.
That's a fair assessment. You know, you touched on a couple other guys. I guess I'll save them for a little bit. I'll go, because since we're talking more about trade, potential guys that, you know, could get traded, Nerlens Noel would be the next name then that could come up. I mean, you know, I think you mentioned several teams, Portland, Sacramento, Miami, and Dallas, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Dallas is a potential team to keep an eye on for Nerlens if Detroit and Dallas are able to make a Bojan Bogdanović trade happen. Okay. I could see him being in the mix as far as a bigger package there, due to the salaries and whatnot. And, you know, if Dallas, partly to make a deal happen theoretically with Detroit, you'd have to be giving up Dwight Powell's contract, and they would need some center depth. And JaVale McGee, who's also been a trade candidate I've touched on Hoops Hype, could also be a guy to watch out for in the mix there. In terms of trade talks with anybody, from Dallas's perspective. So with that in mind, that's how I could see Nerlens there. You know, with the other teams, you know, with Portland, with the money, it might be a little tough. They might have to involve another team, but, what's the latest you're hearing on the Nerlens Noel situation? Has there been any contact between, you know, Pistons management and, you know, Nerlens Noel's camp at this point, to find a better situation for him, where he can go?
Yeah, certainly. And reported in the story, like this is something that both sides have kind of agreed on. There's no like hard feelings or anything. It's pretty, been to my knowledge, done cordially and respectful. Like the Pistons are a rebuilding team. They have Isaiah Stewart, Jalen Duren, and Marvin Bagley in the front court. They got to get those guys minutes. They got to get those guys development. And obviously Nerlens is kind of the odd man out there. So it makes sense that he would have interest in going elsewhere and that the Pistons would have interest in trying to help him out doing that. And I guess for me, these teams have shown interest. I don't know which of these teams or if any teams, how much they'd be willing to give up for Nerlens, just given he hasn't really played this year, but he does have a team option for next season. I guess it just kind of depends on where teams kind of still see Nerlens at this point in his career. I think what we're kind of starting to see formulate is, yes, these teams are inquiring about Nerlens to maybe see what it is or, well, X, Y, Z, this, that, and the third. But I think what ends up happening, unless, like you said, he's part of a package deal, I think what ends up happening is he probably gets bought out and then one of these teams moves on him. I don't necessarily know if there's a trade market for him in terms of him as just an individual. I could be wrong. Maybe a team gives up a second round pick for him and Detroit is fine with that. But certainly I think I agree with you that if he's the most likely way he's moved in terms of like a splash return would be as a package deal. if it's just Nerlens himself, I would guess a second round pick at best. And what seems maybe most likely is the Pistons and him eventually do a buyout and one of these teams pick him out.
I agree with your assessment. I mean, I think another guy you got to look at that could be of interest for teams that are playoff caliber teams, if Detroit decides to be a seller closer to the deadline, would be Alec Burks. Now, to my understanding, you know, Alec Burks is a guy that Detroit views as more than just a veteran mentor because he can contribute now. You know, he's a guy that could fit into this team looking ahead. But I'm curious if you've heard anything on him and any potential playoff caliber teams that are interested in trading for his services now. Proven veteran bench scorer in this league for years now.
Yeah, I haven't heard any specific teams at this point in time. I'm under the impression that teams have or either have or plan to just kind of see what it would take to get him. He's shooting the ball at a great clip. The Pistons have actually played better basketball since he returned from injury. Just kind of goes to show like just the importance of having a guy who can just get buckets and coming off the bench and the way he gets fouls. He's just been a very efficient scorer for most of his time in Detroit thus far. But it kind of goes back to the Bogey situation. Some people might look at Burks and say, oh, you can get a guy who can score in bunches. You can get him for every year. You can always find those guys. And I'm like, for sure. I definitely see those guys are out there, but Burks is a guy who is answers a lot of needs for Detroit in terms of 3-point shooting, scoring in general, leadership. He's under control. He has a team option for next season. So it kind of, if you work with the logic that Detroit wants to be better sooner rather than later, I'm just not sure that you could get somebody as gifted offensively as Burks and who is as consistent for the price that he's currently getting paid. I think you maybe would probably have to overpay for that. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you find a diamond in the rough who ends up emerging and X, Y, and Z. But I look at Alec Burks as like, okay, if I want to be a playoff team next year or to really push for it, like I want a guy like Burks on my team, and they have that in house. And I just don't think the return for somebody like Burks is necessarily worth giving up what he provides on the basketball court. That's just me. Obviously they could see that differently, and maybe they have their eyes set on other guys who could fill that void. But I certainly see Alec Burks as one of the premier bench scorers in this league, and they got him on a pretty friendly contract. And it just makes sense in my eyes to keep him if you're trying to push for something greater next year.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you touch on Nerlens Noel as a guy that's got a team option next year. Not necessarily something that would get picked up as of now. You know, Alec Burks, on the other hand, you can make the case that if you try to trade for him, he could be more than a rental. But James, just wanted to get your thoughts on two other guys before we head on out in studio here. You touched a little bit on Killian Hayes, and Killian Hayes as a starter for 16 games thus far in place of Cade Cunningham has shot 39% from 3-point range, and he's averaged 11 points and 6.6 assists in about 28 minutes per game. As you touched on, some of the best basketball of his career. I think around the league before Cade Cunningham's injury, some people wondered if there would be a place for Killian Hayes with the Pistons long term, as he's blocked in a sense by Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey in terms of being a starter in Detroit. What is the vision for Killian Hayes in Detroit looking ahead, and could you see him as a guy that maybe they try to sell high on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's pretty nuanced. Like, I think he's done a good job of kind of rehabbing his value, not only to maybe teams around the league who liked him going into the draft and then were a little rubbish on him as his early in his career played out, and now are looking like, okay, maybe this is kind of what we saw. I think he's even rehabbed his own value in Detroit. They've always been patient with him in terms of not pressuring him to be a scorer, to be a shooter right now. Dwayne has always talked about, he just wanted him to be a quarterback of the defense, set guys up, play defense. He's probably their best on-ball defender from the guard spot, or he is their best on-ball defender from the guard spot. So he brought some value, but in this league, you got to be able to put the ball in the bucket, and he's finally doing that. So I think it's interesting. Like, I think he's coming up on the rookie extension here. Yeah, this is his third year, so we're not far away from that. I don't think he would cost a lot, just given he's kind of settled in as a guy who you probably look at as at best now, like a high-end backup guard. And every team needs that. But also I see a world in, like, what if the Pistons ever decided to run Cade, Ivy, and Killian together? If Killian continues to show that this shooting is legit, what if there's a world in which maybe Cade and Killian are the better fit between the two? They're both, Killian is a more advanced passer than Ivy. Right now, he's shooting the ball better. He's better defensively. Not to say that Ivy can't get there or won't get there. It's way too early to tell and to even make any assumptions. But there's a world where Killian builds on this, and he's the second best guard that they have. So if I'm Detroit at this point, I still think Killian has more value to them than other teams around the league. And because of that, I would hold on to him just to see where this goes. And if this is just a flash in the pan, I don't think you're going to regret moving on from him in the future. I don't think, like you kind of said, sell high now. I still don't think that selling high on him where he's at and what he's done to this point is going to be a great return. But I would be more interested in, like, just seeing where this is going. And, at worst, you got a guy who could be your third guard for the next 4, 5, 6 years.
And as we wrap up, you touched a little bit on Isaiah Stewart earlier in the pod, and he's a guy that, you know, has, as you said, made some strides in terms of being able to stretch the floor. His scoring and rebounding is up. I think he's around 11 points and 8.5 boards a game. But Jalen Duren is also a guy who's played better than expected. A lot of people thought he'd be pretty raw as a rookie, but he's shown some flashes. So I'm curious, what is Detroit's vision for that center tandem? Who, in your estimation, is the long-term center of the future there? And how does Detroit view both guys?
Yeah, I think that what they see is those two as being the front court. The league is kind of pushing more toward bigger lineups again. And Isaiah, being that he's a little undersized for the center position, is the perfect size for the power forward spot. He's shooting the three ball at a great clip. He's shown some stuff when he's been run off the line. He's had some issues. He's traveled a lot, and he's still figuring that part out, but he has shown flashes to make you think, like, oh wow, like, this isn't just like a one trick pony. Like, maybe there is something else there. And they rate Isaiah very high. They see him as a guy. Everybody kind of, when he came into the league, everybody sees him as just like this work hard guy who's just going to muck things up and give it his all. And I think everybody kind of capped his ceiling because of that. But the Pistons have always viewed him as somebody who really has some skill that he could show and has shown, and is somebody that potentially could be a great pairing with Jalen Duren, especially defensively, for many, many years. And if Isaiah is going to shoot the three ball at the clip he has been, like, that opens up a lot of things. I think he's only going to become a better shooter with even more time. And I think now he's at 37% from three on decent volume, or 36%. So I think they view these guys as their front cure to the future, unless, of course, Wembanyama comes into the fold. But they're going to see what these two look like with more time and more seasoning, because they're both so young. Like, people forget that Duren's the youngest player in the league, and Isaiah Stewart's only 21. He was fairly young of that rookie class in 2020. So I think defensively they see that as kind of what they want to hang their hat on, what they want to build a foundation on, those two defensively in that front court. And Isaiah being able to space the floor just opens up more offensively. And they love Duren. They did, obviously, as you know, like, a lot of maneuvering in the draft to go get him. I've always been under the impression if Ivy was off the board at five, that they might not have necessarily taken Duren at five, but they might have moved back just a couple spots to make sure to get Duren. They fell in love with Duren in the pre-draft process. They loved him in college. They see a bright future for him.
spot on take at that. And we certainly know from Troy Weaver's time with the Oklahoma City Thunder, he's got a decent eye for talent. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for sure on that. But that, James, I appreciate you joining me, man. Obviously, there's a lot to keep an eye on with Detroit, and I encourage everybody to keep an eye on James's coverage of the Detroit Pistons on The Athletic. Thanks again for joining me, brother. Always a pleasure to talk with you, my man. Stay warm out there as the winter continues, and I look forward to seeing you on the way back around in 2023, my man.
I appreciate you, brother. Yes, keep doing your thing. And yeah, I think we'll be out in Brooklyn early January, so hopefully catch you out there, man.
I will hold you and Omari to that and the rest of the crew. I also want to thank everyone else for tuning in. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoopside Podcast with guest appearances from NBA players, coaches, executives, and media members such as James Edwards, you can like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can keep up with my tweets on Twitter, at Mike A. Scotto. Make sure you're following James too. He's at JL Edwards III. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.